Welcome to the Core Women Podcast, the place for women entrepreneurs, authors, and self-starters looking to build community and gain valuable insights through expert interviews with women at the top of their game. Join your host, podcaster, producer, expert coach, entrepreneur, and author, Dr. Summer Watson, as she aims to inspire and empower you through these candid conversations. Lean in and embrace the journey. It's time to start the show. Here's your host, Dr. Summer Watson.
Today on the show, I would like to welcome Chloe Ponta, who is the author of Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life, and a highly sought-after mindset expert and transformational coach who helps people achieve their ultimate life goals. Chloe grew up in one of the most roughest areas of West Detroit and is here to share a bit of her journey from adversity to entrepreneurial success. Chloe has been featured in numerous media outlets to include the Los Angeles Times, Newsweek, and Medium. We really have so much to talk about here, so let's jump right into this. And welcome, Chloe.
Thank you, Summer. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to be chatting with you today. So before we jump into all these incredible things that you've been doing, if you could describe your journey in one word to this point, what would that word be and why?
I would probably have to say magical. And I would say that because literally I feel as if my life is my own creation of my own version of my fairy tale, because I came from adversity and now I'm living the life of my dream. So that's why I feel my life right now is just magical journey.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. So let's talk about your experience of living in, let's say, one of the roughest areas in West Detroit and how you learned through your experiences to recover from difficulties and challenges to support your resiliency.
Yeah. So the neighborhood that I grew up in West Detroit, it's off of Dexter Avenue and Troy Road. And this wasn't always a bad neighborhood. Back in the 1950s, my grandmother and my grandfather were actually the first African-American family to move into this neighborhood. It was an all-white neighborhood at that time. It was an affluent area in Detroit in the 1950s, and it was a great place to raise a family. But unfortunately, as African-Americans were able to afford housing at that time and to become homeowners, Caucasian people, other people of that area began to move out into the suburbs, and that drove the prices of the real estate in that area down. So over time, it became a very difficult place to live in. So as a homeowner for my grandmother, this was her home. This is where she grew up. This is where she wanted to raise her family and also the generations to come. So my mother raised me and my brother there. And as we were kids, there were just some things that I witnessed that have been traumatic in a sense where you play with kids around your age one day and the next day they're shot and killed in a drive-by shooting because they're riding their bike and they were in the crossfire of something that was happening. Gangs were involved in that area. My brother actually was shot and robbed down the street from our house. And it was just a place where I knew I did not want to spend any longer. As soon as I was able to move out, I literally moved out at the age of 19 because I wanted to create a better life for myself. And I wanted to realize that what I want is possible to have. I wanted to feel safe and secure. I wanted to feel protected in a way. And I wanted to overcome the life I was living. Now, even though I grew up in a rough area in Detroit, my life was great. My mother and my grandmother who raised me, they bent over backwards to take care of my brother and I. We had a great life. It's just that when you grow up in an area that isn't good, you try to find ways to get out of that and to get to better places. So the suburbs of Detroit were where I wanted to live because I wanted to just have that, again, feeling of safety and security where I didn't have to worry about, is someone going to get shot that I know? It isn't a great feeling when there's someone your age, teenagers, young adults in their early 20s who lose their lives because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And in that neighborhood, your opportunities are limited because you feel as if this is all you know. And when you grow up in an environment where you're only taught what other people in that environment know, which is doing things that you really don't want to do, but you feel as if you have no other choice, your opportunities are tainted, they're limited. And I knew that I wanted to live a different life. And that really progressed me to change my life and to really learn, well, how can I live a happy life? If I'm surrounded by poverty and trauma and pain and shame, how can I transform my life into something I've never felt, which is happiness or abundance or joy or prosperity? How do I find that? And that is the story of so many inner city youths, because even though we live in the greatest country in the world, where we have so many opportunities, there are still so many people who don't have what we have. They don't know how to get the resources. They're uneducated as to what's available to them, and they feel trapped and stuck. And I did not want to become a statistic. So I did what I had to do. I took action. I went to libraries. I went to community centers, and I figured out, well, what can I do to change my life? And that really catapulted me to want to live a better life, because I knew if the people that I see on TV, if the rappers, if the actresses, if my favorite singers are living an amazing life, there has to be a way that I can live an amazing life too, right? And I knew that if they're happy, then there is some way, somehow, that I can also cultivate that happiness. And that's where my journey began. It's just growing up in that environment, it taught me exactly what I don't want. And because I knew what I wanted, I wanted to feel the emotions of happiness and joy and abundance. That really propelled me to find a way to get out of my situation. And I did. It took me some time, but that's pretty much why I wanted to learn more about manifestation and the law of attraction and just laws of the universe, because universal laws are how we operate in this world and what we have to abide by. And I wanted to learn more about, well, how can I attract more of what I want in my life and make that a permanent thing? And that's kind of what propelled me to do what I do now.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that insight, your wisdom, your evolution of where you began to where you are today. Now, I'm going to take you back a couple of steps because I do want to talk about the foundational aspects of how you were raised. You had a mom and a grandmother that offered you this incredible support. They tried to nurture you and love you and do the best they could. Did you find that was helpful for your objectivity? I would say I would call it the objectivity that you gained. And second part of this question is, did you find that you had both learned innate wisdom to gain that objectivity that you needed to take a step outside, to have the courage to say, I want something different?
Absolutely. My grandmother and my mother, they raised me to be independent because they knew that in order for me to survive or have a great life in this world, I needed to be independent. I did not want to depend on someone else. They didn't want that for me. And that's why they were really hard on me. My brother, he had a very lax childhood growing up. I mean, he could stay out until midnight, or he could do things I couldn't do. You know, my mother and grandmother wouldn't allow me to wear shorts by myself. They say, you can't wear shorts walking down the neighborhood streets. You have to be with us. Or at the time, my mother had a boyfriend, and he was a great father figure in my life. And he said, also, if you're not with me or your mother or your grandmother, but with your grandmother and either your mother or with me, you can't wear those kind of shorts in this area. And at the time, I didn't know why. I'm like, why? And I'm like 13, 14 years old. And he's like, you don't realize it, but you're going to attract the wrong kind of attention. And I don't want you to be in that situation where someone says something to you, and then I'll have to say something back to them. You know, or if you're by yourself, you have no way of saying anything. So I don't want that to happen for you. And he was a guiding light for me when I didn't have a father figure at that time. But growing up, I felt that my childhood was very strict. because my mother and my grandmother, they wanted me to live the best life possible, but they also, again, did not want me to become a statistic. They didn't want me to become pregnant at 16, you know, or drop out of high school and not get a degree. They wanted me to be successful because they knew the environment that we lived in, and they wanted me to be the best that I could be. So I think that because they were so hard on me, I was extremely intelligent. I got straight A's in school because they said, you need to have education in order for you to live a great life. So they laid the foundation for me as to how to be independent. And I think that's why at 19, I was in a situation, I was prepared to live on my own. And I did. I got my very first apartment. I had my very first car. My mother, my grandmother, they helped me to furnish my place. They did things for me because they knew I was ready to go out into this world and make a life for myself. So they definitely helped to lay down the foundation because they wanted me to be better than what they were living at that time. And they knew that. They saw something in me that I didn't see at the time. And my grandmother told me one day, she's like, you know what? You're going to either be a preacher one day or you're going to have a message where many people will listen to you and they're going to see something in you. You're going to be able to motivate so many people. And she saw that in me at a very young age. So I feel as if their life lessons, and even though they were very strict, you know, like I had to be at home at 8 o'clock at night, but I'm 2 years older than my younger brother. But he's, you know, let's say I'm 16 and he's 14, but he can stay out later than me. And I'm like, well, why is that? My mother would just say, because he's a boy. And I didn't get it at the time, but I knew that what she meant was because you're a woman and because you're fragile, because I want to protect you, I need you to be home where I know that you're safe. But your brother, because he's a man or becoming a man, he can handle things that you can't handle at this age right now. And I understand that now, but at the time, I felt it so unfair. And I'm like, I just want to get out. I just want to be 18. I just want to grow up and get out because I want to have my freedom, you know? But I know now they were simply protecting me. They were molding me to become the woman that I am today. And I appreciate that. They, you know, obviously years later, but that is what made me realize if I'm going to be independent, I need to take responsibility for myself, my actions, and I need to center myself around other people who are uplifting and who are going to either help me get to where I want to go or cheer me on along my journey. And they helped me to realize that at a very young age.
I love that bit of your story because it really speaks to strong women, the strong women in your life that helped lay that foundation of growth, support, encouragement, inspiration for you. And they not only saw something in you, but they had the confidence in you and they helped to cultivate that. That is just an amazing story. So thank you so much, Chloe, for sharing that. I just appreciate that. And listeners, I hope you do too, because this is. You know, when I hear about strong women who help other young women or women in their sphere to live a life of magic, I'm going to go back to your book, Magic, and this is a great segue into your book. That's precious. It really is a precious thing. And you've gained so much wisdom, so much insight from them. You were able to reflect on that and understand, ah, that's why they did what they did. It was intentional, it was purposeful, and it was to keep you safe. And it's also wonderful that you had that other gentleman in your life who was kind of that guiding light that also supported you, was looking out for your well-being. And you know that part where you said, you know, this is why you don't wear these shorts, because not only am I protecting you, but I'm also protecting the family and myself where I don't have to step in. So he was really thinking ahead and thinking, ah, let's minimize the risk here. Which is awesome. Let's get into your book. You are the author of Unstoppable Magic: Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. Please give us a glimpse of this incredible book and how it can support people to live a limitless life.
Absolutely. So, Untapped Magic, it's what I call a guidebook that helps anybody from any walk of life. And I wrote this as if I was talking to my younger self, because at that point I was on my journey to figuring out, well, how do I create a limitless life? And limitless means different things to different people. And for me at that time, I literally just wanted to create happiness. I wanted to wake up happy. I wanted to go to bed happy. I wanted to spend my day happy. And I wanted, no matter what happened, I didn't want anyone to have the power to take my happiness away from me. Because there are people in some of our lives where they're toxic. They may say things to us that we don't align with. And sometimes they can steal our joy. And I wanted to make a book where no matter what you're going through, you can find happiness and create that. But also a life of abundance, of joy, of prosperity, and understanding the tools and modalities that you can use to make your life the best that it can be. So I wrote this book for someone who may be on a journey of self-discovery and they're stuck. They have no idea how to get from point A to point B. I wrote this book for someone who is down on their luck and they want to create something better, but again, they don't know what to do or how to use these tools and modalities. I wrote this book for people who know about spirituality and the law of attraction, but maybe they've had some success, but they've given up hope. They're like, oh, it worked for a little bit, but then it didn't work anymore. So, you know, whatever. I wrote this book for them. And I wrote this book for people who overall want to improve their quality of life. Because I feel that if each of us raises our vibration, meaning that we're all in a community where we are in the position where we can raise our happiness, we can raise our emotions to that of joy and peace and love, the world as a collective will be a much better place to live in, because we all have that connection, that empathy for one another, and we're able to connect on a spiritual level. And I wanted this book to become available to anyone who's looking for that type of joy in their life and to add that into their life. It's a holistic book that helps us in every single area of our life, romantically, with relationships, our family, coworkers, just having joy and abundance in our life, creating wealth in our life, understanding what money is and what money isn't, so we have a better understanding of actually how to attract more of that into our lives, and just overall understanding that this life is truly what we make it. And if we're not happy, how to change it to make it become the best life that we can live. And that's really why I wrote the book.
Okay, well, who wouldn't want this book? I mean, honestly, living your best life, living your joy. Everybody should go pick up this book, honestly. And what I also loved of those points that you've described is how we can change community, how we can make this a better place for so many, not just oneself, but with many. And I absolutely am in line with that. That I can get behind.
Yeah.
Put it, right? Here's the other thing too that I absolutely love is how do you cultivate that internal joy? And I find that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is something you're looking for. Joy is something that comes from within. Mm-hmm. Something foundational that comes from within is going to last a lot longer than what you're trying to look outside of you to fulfill that joy or that happiness, right? So it's like that internal joy to cultivate that, to understand it, to know it, to nurture it, to manifest it. So important. And it sounds like this book gives those steps.
Yeah.
Other thing I love too is something that you said, where you've tried before and you become discouraged. That is a very Adlerian theory. So Alfred Adler, who was a derivative of Freud, he said his theory was there's a point of discouragement. Mm-hmm. And you have made that same statement in this book, like if you've become discouraged, this book is for you because mm-hmm. there's other ways to approach this, not just one way. So exactly. Bravo to you. I love that you pointed out all these different variables that are so valuable, that are so important. So as we move on, in chapter 13 of your book, you write about how one can take their power back. Tell us more about how someone can regain their power if they feel powerless or have experienced emotional reactions that could lead to feeling disempowered.
That chapter was very emotional for me to write. And I want to give some context and a little backstory as to why I wrote that, because I went through that. And I know what it can feel like to feel powerless when someone takes your power away from you, when someone tells you that you're unworthy, you're undeserving, that you never can do better than them, when someone is toxic in your life and you don't know how to get rid of them because they're either a spouse, they're a partner, they're a family member, they're a peer, there's someone that's in your life that either you don't know how to get rid of, you have to deal with them in some way or some capacity, and you feel hopeless as if whenever they're around you, you just have this feeling of dread and you don't know how to protect your peace, your energy, so that you can continue to have an amazing day, regardless of what they may say or do. So this book, in this particular chapter, is for those people that find themselves in situations that are sticky, where they're in a toxic relationship and they've been with a person for some time. And because they feel as if they probably can't do better because that person has gaslighted them, they've groomed them, they've made them believe in the lies that are not true, these people feel stuck, they feel hopeless, and they don't know how to overcome what they're going through. So in order for us to take our power back, we have to first realize that we have the power, right? Because some of us feel as if we don't have any power. We feel as if because they've said this to us, that this is the way that it has to be. They said, no, you can't go there. No, you can't do that. You can't achieve that. You're worthless. And because we hear that time and time again, over and over again, sometimes it can become our truth. So this chapter was written to help people take their power back and realize that you have the power to change your life when you're ready to do so. One thing is that we can't change anyone. No matter how many times we say that something is possible for someone, if they're not ready to step fully into their power and owning their power, it doesn't matter what you say to that person because they're not ready to take control. But if you're ready to take control back over your life and take your power back, what I mean in this chapter is that there are modalities and techniques that you can do. If you have a partner or a spouse or someone who has been gaslighting you for years and you have no way as of how you're going to get out of that situation, you first have to ask yourself, is this person helping me to become a better person? Is my life better with this person, or do I feel worse with this person? If you can have a conversation that is non-confrontational, because sometimes it can lead to confrontation, but if you can have a non-confrontational conversation with this person, let them know exactly how you feel and mean it. Let them know how they've been treating you and how you feel. If you cannot have a non-confrontational conversation, what I encourage you to do is to write them a letter. It can be an email, it can be a text, some form to let them know how they make you feel. And then what I encourage you to do is to close that chapter and to walk away, because you deserve to live a better life. One thing again, we can never change anyone. And if this behavior has been happening time and time and time again, it's time for us to realize the best thing we can do is walk away to protect our power and to protect our peace, because that means that we're ready for transformation and we're ready to move on and to take back our joy and our power. Now, if this is a coworker or someone in your family that you have to deal with on a regular basis, I encourage you to be cordial, to be respectful, but any other conversation that doesn't align with whatever you're doing that you have to do with this person, shut down the conversation. Shut it down. Thank you very much, but I have to go. I need to get on with my day. I'll talk to you in the next meeting. End the conversation abruptly, but also tell them how you feel in a non-confrontational way. And a good start to this is to ask them, what's going on with you? What's happening? What do you feel that I've done to you? It seems as if there's something that's happening right now. And whenever I'm around, it seems as if you're triggered by that. Let's have a conversation about what's happening in your life and what's going on with you. And try to have a conversation that's non-triggering. Again, if the conversation will trigger you, don't have a conversation. I encourage you to either write them a letter that explains exactly how you feel or to send a text message to them if that's a safer way. And then in a professional way, you have the power to guide the conversation in a professional manner. It's strictly business if it's a coworker. After business, the conversation shuts down. If it's a family member, if you have to be present, it's strictly for that event or whatever that is that you have to see them for. And after that, the conversation ends and you're out the door. You're on your way. We protect our peace by knowing that we deserve better, but we have to believe that on an internal level. If we don't believe that we're worthy or deserving of having someone treat us a certain way, then we're going to let people walk all over us. And that's not what we want. When we take our power back, we're saying to ourselves, I deserve to be treated with respect. I'm worthy of respect. And I only will deal with individuals who respect me. And those who do not, I will shut down the conversation. I will walk away because I'm protecting my peace. Now, something else that I do, and it may sound a little silly, is if I have to be around someone physically, but I want to protect my energy, because sometimes people can drain your energy. Sometimes people can make you feel as if you're just tired or you're just in a really bad mood because they have negativity all around them. So what I do is I pretend there's an imaginary box in my room, in my space, whatever, and I take out my energy and I put it in that box and I close it up and I go where I have to go. And when I come back, I do a little mantra and I clear myself of any negativity. And I say, I cleanse myself of any negativity that doesn't belong to me. I remove all that negativity from my body. And then I put my energy back on. And that way, I'm protecting myself when I'm around other people who inadvertently have negative vibes. And I don't want that in my space, in my personal space. So those are some tips and modalities that I practice, that I have for my clients. And I've also shared in my book, Untapped Magic, that will help you help people to realize they do have power and that toxic people don't have power over them. And they have the power to take back what is theirs.
That is fantastic. I love the steps that you've given and the approaches that you've taken to really help yourself as well as others. So thank you so much for those steps, because a lot of times we can hear, you know, take back your power and, oh my gosh, this is going to be wonderful when you take it back and you live your life and you live this limitless life and this powerful life and this magical life, but then they leave you inspired, but not with the steps. Mm-hmm. And here you've just given a ton of steps that people can actually put into practice and cultivate that joy in their life. So thank you so much. That is so valuable. It makes such a difference when you can approach it in that way and give people the information that they can apply to their everyday lives.
Yeah.
As we come to the close of this interview, because we've covered so much, you've given so much here. My last question is, if you were to give the listeners one tip to live a limitless life, what would that be?
My tip to listeners would be to follow your passions and your joy, because that will lead you to your path of happiness, of abundance, of everything that lights you up. And we chase things because they promise us a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We're going away from what our soul really wants. And our soul's only goal in this world is to peel back the layers of pain and shame and pre-programming and invisibility, and to get back to our whole worthy, authentic selves. And when we follow our soul's journey, which to me is doing things that really, truly light us up, we're on our path to living our most abundant, limitless life.
Fabulous. Thank you, Chloe, for joining me on the Core Women podcast today.
Thank you, Summer. It's been a pleasure.
It has been an absolute honor to have you here with me today. You can follow Chloe Ponta on Facebook, Instagram, and at Chloe Ponta.
Thank you for joining us on the Core Women Podcast with Dr. Summer Watson. We're so glad you're here and would love to connect more with you. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Core Women, and on Twitter at Core Women 1. For more about Core Women and Dr. Watson, visit corewomen.com. Want more support and resources for amazing women like you? Great! Join Dr. Watson and Jen Fontanilla at the Life, Love, and Money Collective, a Core Women production that aids in understanding the key traits that might be getting in the way of living a life that you are absolutely passionate about. Connect with Summer and Jen and find out more at thelifeloveandmoney.com.